Thank you, Caden, and we appreciate that very, very much. You know, Caden's certainly one of our own here in Palestine. We appreciate him so much. He's just a wonderful, a fine young man, and I know that he'll be very, very successful in life. And we appreciate this family, the whole family, very, very much. Did a great job. By the way, I don't know if you know it, but he was on our Dogwood Jamboree back earlier in the year and won the talent contest that night. He'll be coming back to Palestine on the 14th in the finals out at Palestine High School. And so we're so thankful for him for many, many reasons. You know, all of us experience what we call our darkest hour. We have all been there, no doubt. Even in our darkest hour, we need to remember that we should never, ever despair, because we know that God really is watching over and he is guiding the affairs of mankind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, actually in verse 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul addressed the darkest hour. He said, "My brothers and sisters, we have to tell you that when we were in Asia, the troubles we faced were nearly more than we could handle, and the burdens we bore nearly crushed us. Our strength dwindled to nothing." He said, "For a while, we weren't sure we would even make it through the whole ordeal. We thought we would have to serve out our death sentences right then and there." Have you ever been in a situation maybe where you feared death and that it was upon you? Well, if you have, then you can understand what Paul is really talking about. He said, as a result, we realized that we could no longer rely on ourselves, and that we must truly rely on God, who possesses the power to raise the dead. And he does. Miraculously, God himself delivered us from the cold hands of death, and we again place our hope in him alone, and we know that he will deliver us. The dark does not destroy the light. It actually defines it. It's our fear of dark that really casts us and takes away our joy. And it really, really does. And we often sometimes fight it, but we know that it's there. And David, in the book of Psalms 56 and verse 3, made this statement, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." And that's exactly what we have to do. How do people react to their darkest hour? When you face that dark hour, what was your reaction? Were you ready to throw in the towel? Were you ready to quit? Or were you ready to go on with the help of God and to realize that days could be better? There are some things that we should never, ever forget. And there are three types of people in your life. First of all, there are those who helped you in your difficult times. When you were going through those difficult times, they were there to support you. And secondly, there are those who left you in your difficult times. And then thirdly, there are those who put you in difficult times. So in one of those, you will find that you should never forget those folks. Now, let me share with you a number of points tonight that I think that are so relevant and so true and so very, very important relative to the darkest hour. Most of us don't like it, and many of us fear it. Sometimes we think we've already been through our darkest hour, only to find later that there is a darker hour, and that it is the darkest hour that you have ever spent in your life. And difficult roads actually often lead to beautiful destinations. I'm thankful that when we go through problems, that God is there to help us, to give us strength, and lead us to where we need to be. Nobody said it better than King David many years ago. He said, "It is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." That is your commands, the things that are so important. But David said it came not when things were going great in his life, but they came when he was facing issues and troubles, perhaps that Job spoke about in Job 14:1-2. when he said that man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. There's another thing about this darkest hour. Few of us face it voluntarily. We want to stay away from it as much as we possibly can. We want to get rid of the tough times. And sometimes you think you won't make it. But with the help of God, you will make it and you will get through it. And that is precisely what Romans 8 and 28 is about. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that's Christians, to them that love the Lord and look forward to His appearing. Someone said, inside me is a weak heart, but behind me is a strong God. Aren't you? I'm thankful tonight that God is strong. I may be weak in my heart, and there may be other aspects of my life where I am weak. Paul said one time, where I am strong, there am I weak. And when I am weak, there am I strong. He depended upon God to help him get through the darkest hour. And when we have nothing left but God, you soon discover that God really is enough. And if He is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 and verse 31. I like the statement that someone made years ago that tough times don't last, but tough people do. And don't give in. Don't acquiesce. Don't throw in the towel. Realize that with the help of God that we can face whatever we have to face in life. But there's a third reaction that people have to their darkest hour. Darkness comes in every form. It does. What may be an area where you're fine with it, it may be an area that a lot of people dread and a lot of people are facing that might be worse than your darkest hour. But it comes in all forms. It could come through sickness. And you may think this is terrible. I've had a diagnosis of cancer, or I've had a diagnosis of heart disease, or leukemia, or MS, as our granddaughter did here a while back. But she faced it very courageously and is facing it courageously, and she is getting through it. Thank God. Darkness comes not only with illness, it comes with death itself. Darkness comes in all kinds of ways. And always remember that no matter how useless you feel, you are still someone's reason to smile. You are. We have to remember that. But some people react to their darkest hour in this way, because darkness can be the absence of physical light. What if you couldn't see tonight? Would that be a terrible dark hour for you? It would be for me. Have you ever thought about how blessed we are to be able to see a light bulb or to be able to turn on the light where we don't have to stay in darkness? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Darkness can be the symbol of evil grip over part of our life. And I can tell you that Satan is ready to attack you and get a grip on your life. He does. And maybe without you even realizing it. And you may not realize it, but maybe tonight you are alone in the dark. You are. There's something going on in your life tonight, and you realize that you're alone in the dark. And you don't know how to handle it. Darkness, number six, can be the emotional chasm that actually claims us. Have you ever thought about the fact that most of the crimes that are committed in our country are committed under the cover of darkness? They are. People rob, they steal, they cheat, they do all these things. They break in, they steal your car, they drive by and shoot, not so much in midday, but they do it under, as I said, the cover of darkness. It is an emotional chasm, and it occurs when we get bad news. Isn't it a terrible thing to get bad news? It is to me. I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't like bad news. I like good news. And I'm not like the ostrich that sticks its head in the sand and says, hey, you know, I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist, it doesn't happen. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the fact that sometimes we fail to appreciate good news. And most of the world tonight delights not in good news, but in bad news. They turn on their television, they watch the news over and over and over again, where it's all bad news, and it accumulates. And what they're doing is actually programming your mind to where you are focused on more bad news than you are good news in life. Someone said that there is news, there is bad news, there is no news, and there is good news. And therein, you will be listening to one of those. It is the emotional chasm that occurs when we lose a loved one and the dark hour comes. All of us have been through experiences that we call death with loved ones in our family. Either your mom died, your dad died, your brothers died. I have faced death, I can tell you, a lot. Ben faces it every day, but I can tell you I'm a little bit older than Ben, and I have faced death much, much more than even Ben has, believe it or not. When you think about the fact that in Palestine alone, over the last 53 years, I have spoken at 1,500 funeral services, that tells you a little bit about it. That's not even considering those that are away from Palestine or family members. Every one of my brothers and sisters have deceased. I am the only one left. I preached every one of their funerals except my brothers who lived up in Boston. And the reason I didn't go there is it was during COVID times and we couldn't get a flight out to even be there. But I know one thing, that death is real. And death, and I'm going to tell you, the grief that we experience in life is not an easy thing for us to deal with. Someone has appropriately said that death leaves a heartache that no one can heal, and love leaves a memory that no one can steal. Isn't that a beautiful thought? It is. The emotional chasm that we call our darkest hour actually occurs when we are betrayed by a friend. David said prophetically, even of Jesus and Judas, who would raise up his heel. He said, my own familiar friend has raised up his heel against me. Dark hour, betrayal of trust, stabbed in the back. Someone said that even the rain falls because the sky can no longer handle the heaviness of those clouds. Sometimes people fall away from God and from the church because of the traumatic problems that happen in their own lives. Just like tears, they fall because the heart can no longer handle the pain. Tears, someone said, are how our heart speaks when our lips cannot describe all of the hurt that is going on within us. David understood it when he said in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm walking through that shadow of darkness. When facing our darkest hour, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, Matthew 28 and verse 20. When I think about the darkest hour, darkness takes on a number of faces, meaning, and even many, many more beyond what we could ever imagine. Yet darkness can only be the workshop of God to bring out new life out of our most helpless situations. And I want you to focus up. Don't drift off here. God created our universe out of darkness and chaos. We know, scientists even know this, that the world was submerged under water, and God said, let the dry land appear. And it comes out of water. You know, God can create good out of chaos. He can. And out of our most hopeless situations, God created our universe. In a time of physical and spiritual and national darkness, which I really believe we're going through in this country, just like before, God birthed the Son, His only Son, through the miraculous movement of God the Holy Spirit. For God conceived this great blessing in the darkness of the womb and in a darkness of deep political oppression and in the darkness of the night where a star gave birth to the beautiful name of Emmanuel, or Jesus. Jesus defeated the power of evil and sin as he hung, think about this, in midday darkness on the cross. It was his darkest hour. Abandoned by his friends and berated and mocked by a jeering mob. You know, I think a lot about the song. I don't know if you've ever heard this one or not, Caden. It's called Night with Ebon Pinion, brooded o'er the veil, all around with silence, save the long night's wail. Sometimes we sing songs and we don't even understand what we're singing. Night with Ebon Pinion. You know what Ebon Pinion is? Ebon Pinion is the black wing of death. And that's where Christ was when he was in the garden of Gethsemane and there was darkness all around. When he hung on the cross, God hid the sun during the middle of the day. And he was placed in a dark tomb. Did you realize that Earth's saddest day and his gladdest day were just 3 days apart? Imagine that. Isn't that astounding? For in the darkness of a sealed tomb, the mystery of life, as we know it, was reawakened by the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over sin and death. And we were secured in the darkness of a prison cell, shaken by an earthquake. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas sang, and they began to talk about new life in these songs, and they put new life into their songs when they sang. And the jailer even inquired about the Lord that they were honoring and serving. And finally he said, "Sirs, what hinders me from being baptized?" And Paul said, "If you believe, you may." "Can I be baptized?" He took him the same hour of the night and baptized him. King David actually made this statement also, that even if I am afraid and think to myself, there is no doubt that the darkness will swallow me or engulf me, the light around me will soon be turned into night. You can see in the dark, for it is not dark to your eyes. There is that glimmer of hope, Psalms 139. For you, the night is just as bright as the day. And that was really the way Paul and Silas looked at it. They weren't afraid of the dark. Darkness and light are the same to your eyes, because your eyes are not the spirit, not the physical eyes they're talking about, but the spiritual eyes that enables us to see when all around us is engulfed in darkness. The troubles we have faced, nearly more than we can handle at times. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough being a Christian. And the people who are with you during your darkest nights are the ones worth spending your brightest days with. That's who I want to be around. The burdens we bore nearly crushed us, we say. Paul said that, nearly. But he could proclaim, as we can, in the singing of that great song, "How Great Thou Art." And I can proclaim, "My God, how great Thou art." Paul said, our strength dwindled to nothing, and it was a dark time. But someone has appropriately said that where there is no struggle, there is no strength. You know, this afternoon, Audrey and I had the opportunity to go out and visit with our newest great grandbaby. That's not the first time. But as we were holding him, I got to thinking about that baby. And he was crying out until I took him myself. But one thing I noticed was the fact that that baby would kept crying and he kept screaming out. And I kept telling myself, I know the doctor told me it was good for their lungs. So I backed away and I thought, my, what a precious little thing. But you know what I really thought about more than anything else? I was thankful for his birth. But I will even be more happy at his birth again into Jesus Christ our Lord, the new birth. And we can do that in the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Paul says, we thought we were going to have to serve out our death sentence right there. That would be a horrible thing. For God had many more things in store for the Apostle Paul. But he said, God delivered us from the cold hands of death. And he has delivered me many, many times. Times when I was afraid that the darkness would swallow me up. But it didn't. The darkness did not swallow them. But they remembered that behind the clouds the sun was still shining. And that's something that we often forget in our lives. That whatever we have to go through in our lives, the sun, the S-O-N is still shining, but the S-U-N is still shining as well. Sometimes we find ourselves in some kind of deep darkness. I hope you're not there tonight. But I know one thing, that if you are, there's only one answer to that. Where to turn in your darkest hour? And that is to God. You know, there is a thing that's called nyctophobia. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not. But it is actually fear of the dark. We don't have to be afraid of the dark any longer. Because our Lord is the light of life, John chapter 8 and verse 12. And we must trust solely in God who possesses the power to even raise the dead. And miraculously, God delivered us from death by his own Son. And we place our hope in him alone. And we know that he will deliver us. Whatever you're going through in your life right now, God can deliver you. And he will make it that you see in the dark. For you, he says, the night is just as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to your eyes, dear Lord. That's what David said, wasn't it? Let me ask you a question tonight. Does fear hang like an overcoat, I guess you could say, around your shoulders, weighing you down and seizing every vestige of joy and peace that God wants to give unto you in your life? Happiness can be found even in the darkest of times. If only we turn to him, he can turn on the light. He can turn on the light. I don't know if I remember telling you about the young girl one time out at Carlsbad Cavern. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. When they get you down in the caverns, they turn out the light. It is so dark, you cannot even see your hand, anything before your eyes. It is so dark. Well, a young boy who was about 7 years of age and his little sister were with their mother and father, and they were there in those caverns. And when they turned the lights out, the little girl began to cry. And her brother at that very moment at the right time looked over at her, feeling for her, and he said, "Sis, don't cry, because there is someone up there who can turn on the lights." You know, in our world of darkness, there is someone who can turn on the light. And that's our God. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And even if we're in our darkest hour, God's love will light the way for all of us. That's why Paul could say confidently to the church at Ephesus, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end. Amen." I am the light of the world. Isn't it amazing that everything that is satanic is measured by darkness, and everything that is spiritual as God's children is measured by light? And in Isaiah 9:2, the prophet said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, on them the light has shined." And I hope that you have seen the great light and that you're walking in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, "We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all of our sin." And if you're walking in darkness tonight, you could be here in this auditorium. The devil's here. Do you know that? Christ is here. But the devil has a way of following. Listen, the author of darkness has a way of following the children of light. And that's why I appealed to you to walk not in darkness, but in light. And surrender yourself to the commandment of Jesus Christ. Obey his gospel in baptism. We thank you all for being here tonight. And I hope that when you leave here, that you'll leave with a greater hope. And to realize that when you lay your eyes on that pillow tonight and darkness engulfs you, that there is a God who is light, who is watching over you to protect you and guide you when you cannot guide yourself. In the blessed name of Jesus, we honor and we praise him. And we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.